What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. It has caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and 12, just a little bit of caffeine, about 40 milligrams per piece. Really just helps get your mind right. I'll chew a piece anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost. If I'm making a bunch of phone calls or I'm out meeting some clients or anytime I've got a big meeting, I'll pop a piece, or if I'm about to go train jiu-jitsu, or if I ever just feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum. Usually gets my head right, and it gets me feeling good. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to Gabe over at Captain Beard Co. So they create products for your beards, balms, butters, oils, face wash, all sorts of great stuff that's made with natural ingredients. And it smells amazing. Like, their stuff is awesome. I've got their body wash, also smells really good, and they've got candles. So if you're a dude looking for stuff for your beard or body wash to smell good, check out our guys over at Captain Beard Co. and use our promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchases.
Oh man. So how are you today, bro?
You know, man, it's another day. Yeah. Another day.
Well, it sounds like we just got some good news about rates.
Yeah, so. The Fed cut the Fed fund rate by 0.5%. Very large cut for the first cut since they started raising rates in 2020.
So for the people out there that, you know, may not really know what that means, you know, if you can give us, explain it like you're explaining it to a third grader.
All right. So the Federal Reserve, their job is to help basically set the monetary policy, which helps the flow of our economy. A lot of the things that they pay attention to are like the major points are inflation and employment. So if inflation starts getting too high, they're going to restrict the monetary policy. So they want to raise the Fed fund rate to help bring money off the streets. So usually when you see the Fed fund rate get raised, that's usually when you start seeing banks offering like higher percentages on their like returns on their banking accounts. And so they're getting people to bring that money in and not have so much out on the street, which will less money to spend means less money to buy things. Means prices and inflation are going to slow down. On the other side of that, they use this to help control the jobs market, the employment market. And, ever since May, we really started to see a change in jobs information. So employment rates started going up. There was less and less jobs being created, but then there was also a revision from March of 23 to March of 24 that showed the BLS overshot the jobs that were created by 818,000 jobs. That's a massive fuck up. And so all of this coming in is basically they want to make sure that we have a Fed fund rate that promotes growth within the employment sector as well as keeps inflation down. And so they raised the Fed fund rate to get inflation down, which they've done. Wherever they came up with this 2% inflation year over year, not really sure why they decided that was a good number to be at, but that's what they're shooting for is 2% year over year, which people need to remember that the prices that we've been paying, they're not going anywhere. They're just not going to grow as fast as they did over the last few years. I mean, some stuff's up 25, 40%. Where those prices are there, unless we get deflation, those prices are going to stick. It's just they're not going to go up by as much as they had been. They're using this to help control the economy, put us in a position that is going to allow our economy to grow, and hopefully keep us out of a recession or what they call a soft landing into this recession. So
cool,
which will help mortgage rates. So
this helps everything, it seems. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So that's awesome. It's good news for everybody there.
Yeah, man.
So.
Tell us, you just had a fight this past weekend.
A match.
The proper term.
I know any of my fighter friends out there would hate if I called that a fight. So
okay, match. Yeah, your match. Sorry, I'm new to this.
No, it's all good. It was great. It was cool because it was at Four Hands Brewery, which is a local microbrewery here in town in St. Louis. And it was put on by a A collab of several different, you know, kind of pretty big companies here in St. Louis. One of them being Imposed Will, which is a jiu-jitsu apparel brand, basically. Like, they make gis and rash guards and clothing, you know, tiered toward, you know, jiu-jitsu and combat sports for the most part. So they put it on, and they teamed up with Strange Donuts, which is a, you know, donut shop here in town is pretty big, as well as Four Hands Brewery, and they called it Strange Hands. Four Hands, Strange Donuts, Strange Hands. Mm-hmm. And then there was a bunch of great sponsors: Omen Coffee, Clean Eats, Black Sheep Ammo. There was all sorts of people there. Really cool event. We had they set up mat space in their like loading docks area where they're where the trucks, I guess, would pull in and unload things. And so, yeah, they just set, you know, mats on the floor there, surrounded it with chairs, and, you know, just had a bunch of jiu-jitsu matches. And it was cool. It was submission only. Imposed Will provided us with kits. So, like, a full,
pretty cool.
Yeah, they're sweet. And we got to, you know, keep them. And they're really nice, good quality stuff. And, I mean, I've got a bunch of Imposed Will gear. And, you know, I really like supporting Adam. He's the owner of Imposed Will. He's just a great guy. I definitely want to get him on here. He's definitely someone I've been meaning to get on. He's just a good guy. He's a black belt, really, really nice guy. He worked at First Form for a little bit, and he's a black belt out of St. Charles MMA. Just a fucking nice guy. He used to have a podcast too. I used to listen to, and just a great guy. I'd love to get him on. But yeah, the event was awesome. It was really cool. It was cool being at a brewery. Like, we're warming up in the back, and we're just like surrounded by pallets of beer and stuff. And it was cool. We had a lot of people from our team competing, and some people won, some people lost. My match I had a tough match. I was against a guy out of Pedigo Submission Fighting, which is a notoriously pretty tough gym. They've got a lot of like really, really high level guys that go, you know, made it pretty far. And this guy that I went against, I know he trains with Michael Pixley, who made it really, really far in ADCC this year. He ended up with huge upset and ended up submitting Nicholas Marigali. And this guy's kind of got his signature takedown. And this guy, and the guy who I went against, trains with this guy. And man, he hit me with like pretty much that like same signature takedown that he's clearly like drilling with this other guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty. I actually just posted some pictures of it, you know, kind of making fun of myself, because the guy who was taking photos there got some really good pictures of what happened. But he hit me with this beautiful, like, he hit what's called a slide by, and then right after, I kind of defended the slide by, but then right after, he followed up what's called with a foot sweep, where essentially just like picks your legs out from underneath you. And so, you know, I'm like airborne in this picture. And yeah, not the greatest, but yeah, anyway, he took me down like that, and then you know, I had him in my guard for a little bit, and then he ended up, you know, I had him in my half guard, and he ended up just grabbing one of my feet and just falling back on a straight ankle lock, and you know, I ended up submitting me really. The second he had it, he put it on it, I was tapping because it was super tight, and I mean, my ankle's still sore from it. But yeah, he was very good, really tough opponent. I'd love to run it back and get another chance at that sometime against him, because I feel like I didn't perform as well as I could have or should have. But you know, it is what it is. It's jiu-jitsu. You know, I walked away. I'm healthy. And I'm getting ready for my next match here, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, going up against a guy in the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going against Sean Woodson. He's a top 15 UFC fighter in the featherweight division. So he's a really, really tough guy. He's a really, really tall for 145. I believe he's like 6'2 or 6'3.
Yeah, I met him at the last event that Adam had on, and I'm looking him eye to eye.
Yeah, he's a very tall, you know, he's a skinnier guy. Yeah. You know, I'm definitely like a more thick than he is, I guess you'd say. But I'm definitely not taking this match lightly. He's, you know, kind of known as more of a striker. You know, we haven't seen a ton of his grappling in he's not known for taking people down and submitting them. He's known for his boxing, and he's uses that reach to his advantage. And you know, I mean, we all know if this was a fight, I'd be a dead man. But the fact that it's a grappling match, I think I got a chance. So,
well, yeah. It'll be fun to watch. I'm excited to go.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I think my game plan for this one's going to be very different than my last. So, I'm really excited to get back to the gym this week and really, you know, start getting that game plan dialed in and going over some stuff with my coach and really kind of figuring out what I'm going to be doing get a game plan and just work on that game plan relentlessly for the next month as I get ready for this. And, you know, I just want to make sure I show up and perform my best. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's I've never had really an opportunity like this where I'm, you know, where it's, I'm going up against someone with a big name, mm-hmm. you know, like he's got way more of a notoriety than I do. You know, he's a big name. So
that'd be cool if we get him on here.
I would love to, yeah. You know, like I'm definitely not going to be out here like talking shit, trying to hype up the match. Cause you know, I totally respect him. And yeah. Like I said before, if we knew this was a fight, he would beat the shit out of me. So
there's a couple of UFC guys. So you got Sean, you've got Evan. Evan is going to be there.
Yes. Yeah, oh, Evan. Sweet. So Evan's, and that was another thing from this past weekend. My best friend, Nick, you know, him and I started jiu-jitsu together basically. Mm. You know, we started about like a week or two apart from each other and, you know, have just become kind of like best friends through this and in our journey through this. And he ended up basically beating someone the same way that I got beat. Like he got someone in a straight ankle lock almost the exact same way as the guy got me in mine. And Nick had a hell of a performance and I'm just super proud of him. But yeah, him and I are competing again on this next card and we're both going up against UFC guys. Yeah, Nick's going against our friend Evan Elder, who Nick and I have both trained with a lot.
Yeah, been on the show.
Yeah, Evan's been on the show. Evan's the nicest guy.
He's awesome.
Oh, he's such a good dude. Awesome. And it'll be cool, especially since Nick and Evan have rolled together a lot. So that'll be, you know, be different, you know. So it'll be very intense. I'm really looking forward to that. And you know, it's like that's the difference between jiu-jitsu and fighting. Like it's like those two are very good friends. Like, and they're just going to be going against they're competing. They're both going to be trying to win and submit each other, you know, but that's the thing is you never want to hurt your opponent. Like I'm never like when I'm going against Sean, last thing I'd want to do is hurt him, you know, hurt him. And then he can't fight like, cause that's how he makes his money. Like I would never like, if I get him into something, I'm not taking it home. I don't need that on my conscience, you know,
right.
It's like, that's how that guy makes his money. He makes his money through fighting and that's how he brings money home to his family. And like, that's the last thing I'd want to do is jeopardize that. And for a grappling match, you know, and I know this is not what he does, but yeah, it's the same thing with Evan. It's like, you know, Nick and I are both going to be very respectful of our opponents and knowing that they've got bigger things than this. So
yeah, they've got their careers are,
you know, and so we just don't, obviously fluke things happen. Anything can happen, but you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that we're going to try to win, but we're not going to try to do it where we hurt. We're never going to jeopardize. We're not going to put them in a heel hook and take it home, you know, and try to tear every ligament in their knee. That's the last thing I'd want to do. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. October 19th here in St. Louis at Red Flag. You got a Zach and Pat show box.
Oh yeah.
So,
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a really, I mean, every single one of these, this is the fourth one he's done in the last 2 years. You know, we were at the last one and I competed on the second one, which was really cool. And every single one, it's just seemed like it's gotten like a little bit better and better. And like Adam said, when he was on here, I think the venue is just like perfect. Kind of get that like fight club feel.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's cool. So really looking forward to that. So I'm going to be training my ass off, you know, just trying to improve, you know. I kind of see where I went wrong this past weekend, and I'm gonna try to improve on it. So, yeah. But we wanted got some questions out on our Instagram last couple weeks, so we figured today we'd do kind of more of a Q&A episode. So
I love these; are always fun.
Yeah, man, these are like my favorite when it's just you and I, not always my favorite when it's just you and I, but these are my favorite ways to do these, what we call our duet episodes.
We've got some good ones too,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited to get into some of these for sure. So, what's our first one?
You want to go first, or let me go first? Most embarrassing memory.
Whew. Oh man,
I've got a good one.
All right, yeah, you can go first. I'll start thinking about mine because I think I got the one I want to say, but I'm like, is that the most embarrassing one? I mean, it's pretty embarrassing. I definitely got the scar to prove it, but I'm like, is that the most embarrassing?
Yeah, so freshman year in college. I mean, actually, there's a few embarrassing stories from freshman year in college. I went a little hard my freshman year. But this one takes the cake. So a mutual friend, actually, Ashley, who was on the show, set me up with a friend of hers. And her and I, like, we started off at a party and had a good time, and then they went somewhere else, and then we met up, and I drank a lot of bourbon, and, you know, was pretty drunk, and we wound up back at her place, and just, they had their beds bunked, and she slept in the bottom bunk and I was on the top bunk. We didn't, obviously I'm not fitting two people with my size in one of those
in a twin bed.
Yeah. So I'm in the top bunk and yeah, woke up the next morning and I'm like the bed from end to end, side to side, everything was soaked. I look up and there's bottles of water, like empty bottles of water on me and all this. I'm like, oh, I just spilt a bunch of water.
Yeah.
And then you get hit with that aroma. Yeah. And I had pissed her entire bed. Like not just a little spot. Like I'm talking like end to end, side to side, all the
pillows. Flooded that motherfucker. Just,
yeah. It was like I had everything that I had drank for like the last 2 days. I was just all out. And so yeah, I wake up and she's not in the room. Her and her roommate weren't in there. So I'm like, fuck, I gotta get out of here. So needless to say, I'm just in my boxers and my clothes are on the ground and I'm like, oh good, maybe they're dry. No, not at all. Soaking wet. And so I jump down and I'm getting dressed, and as I'm getting dressed,
putting your wet clothes on.
Yeah. Cause they're across campus. So I was staying, so you'll know this. I was in Hammonds. They were in Freddie.
Oh yeah.
So I had to walk all the way across campus to get back to my place. And so they were right next to the student union. They get back after they were showering or whatever, getting ready. They come back and I'm getting dressed and put my socks on and they're soaking wet. And so, you know, I felt terrible about this. And I'm like, how the fuck do I tell her? And so she's like, oh, hey, great. You're up. Let's go. We're going to the student union. I'm like, all right. So we start walking go down through the hallway. And as I'm walking, you can just hear my feet squishing in my shoes. And how they didn't smell it, I don't know. Maybe they did. They're just being nice. I don't know. But anyway,
fucking stinks.
we're outside. We start walking the student union and I'm fine. I'm like, all right, fuck, I can't. And she's like, hey, listen, I'd love to go eat with you guys, but I got to get back to the dorms. And I was like, I got to tell you something. And she's like, well, what? I was like, I had a great time with you last night. But like when you're done eating, call me. I pissed your bed. And the look on her face was like, she was like, huh? And then it was like concerned. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go back, shower, change. Let me know when you're done. I'll come over and I'll help you clean up and all this. And, you know, and I'll take you to get new sheets and pillows and stuff. And so anyway, I walk back just walking back and people are walking by me and my feet are just like squish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I got back to the dorm and all my buddies were there and they're like, dude, how'd it go?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I cock-blocked myself. And everybody's laughing and Ashley comes running down. She goes, what the fuck did you do? So I guess Lauren had already
told her.
Like, yeah. I peed the bed. And so anyway, everybody's dying laughing. And I'm like, listen, my clothes are soaked and I'm like, I'm going to go take a shower. I'll come back. I'll tell you guys everything. So I get out of the shower and Ashley's on the phone with this girl and has her on speakerphone. And she's like crying and I ruined her like a stuffed animal that she got when she was little. And
oh no.
Yeah. And so, and like, I was like, fuck, she was supposed to call me. And I'm like, checking my phone. There's nothing there. And like, she had to go to the dorms and get a whole new mattress and all like everything. And I ruined this stuffed animal and like, I felt awful, but yeah, that probably takes the cake as most embarrassing.
Yeah. That's gotta be.
So, but funny thing about it is so like, obviously that was freshman year. So 2006, 2007, obviously that didn't go anywhere after that, but it's funny. Her and I reconnected when I was playing pro ball and we ended up dating for like 3 or 4 months.
Really? That's so funny.
After the fact. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's probably listening to this. Yeah. Haley.
Sorry.
I apologize. I owe you some sheets and pillows.
Dude, it's so funny because there's a lot of people that I went to college with. They were like notorious people that would piss the bed. Like it was like every week. Like, for example, I lived with a guy and it was the joke Friday sheets, you know, like I've got a few
buddies as well. Dude, unless so like the thing, if I black out, like I like to drink at that time, like, man, college, you're partying hard.
Yeah, I haven't drank like that.
No,
since college,
I can't even think about the last time I was drunk.
Me either. I was thinking about that the other day.
I'll have drinks. But I can't even think about the last time where I was just hammered drunk. I fucking hate it.
I can't remember the last time I had more than 3 drinks in a night.
That's the thing. Like, I'm still a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
But now instead of drinking Jack and Cokes, where it just goes down super smooth, I'm sipping straight bourbon, and you can't chug that.
No.
Like, it takes me half hour, 45 minutes to get through a drink. So if I'm having one an hour over the course of 4 or 5 hours, like, I'm not going to be drunk.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The guy that I was talking about, like I said, I lived with him, and there's just so many funny stories I could tell, and I'm not going to even say his name.
Yeah,
I love the guy, but man, there's just so many, like, this is like, this place we lived in, our junior year, we had we were like the party house for my fraternity. We had the big loft downtown, and we had a party pretty much every week, and it was just like, I mean, it was, it's fun. It was super fun. Like, I'm glad that I did it, but I was like, man, I couldn't do this. I only wanted to do it for 1 year. Like, it was cool to have that experience, but like the stress of, you know, at the time I turned 21 like halfway through the year, or like, you know, so I was like always stressed that, you know, because so many times our parties got busted by the cops. But anyway, there was this one time where, you know, people were there till all hours of the night. But like, I remember, you know, it was like probably 4 or 5 of us after everybody had left, and we're like sitting in the living room, like, you know, probably passing a joint around or something. But all of a sudden we hear like a stream just like hitting. It sounded like it was just like hitting something. And we ended up finding out, and we were all like listening and just giggling because we knew it was happening, because this is the guy that notoriously did it. And of course, I woke up, me and one of the other roommates woke up early, and we just, all of a sudden, we hear him moving around, and then we hear, fuck! God damn it! Oh, and then, yeah, we come to find out, he pissed in his own shoes.
Oh, man. Oh, college.
Oh, dude, we had so many times in that place. But my embarrassing story also comes from being drunk in college, and I got a nice scar on my head to prove it. This, like, it actually kind of goes in line with the wrinkles in my forehead, but this right here, right there, right at my hairline, is from a college mishap. So we were actually at Boogie, which was kind of the notorious bar down there that we always went to. Well, one side was Boogie, one side was Bubbles. And, you know, it was Thursday night when we were down there, had like
Boogie Bowls,
and they had like 25-cent drinks. So, like, you know, essentially they were 25 cents, but you give them $1 in, you know, or whatever. Like, that's how it was. But I was just slamming Jack and Cokes all night. And when it was time, we were there till the bar pretty much closed. And our buddy's place that we were going to afterwards was like, and it was probably like 200 yards away. It was like not far at all. Like, we could almost see it from the bar. But like right as we were leaving the bar, it was like pouring down rain, and it was like 4 of us, if I remember right. It was like I was one of four. I think I can't still, you know why I can't remember here in a second. I think it was 4 of us, but I remember it started just like pouring down raining as we were leaving the bar. And so that just turned into us running. You know, we're all in our Sperry's and button downs, and we're just like running through the street because it was just like fucking downpouring. And get 4 guys together and they start running. That turns into a race, you know, and you're just trying to like beat your buddy, you know, we're like fucking little kids running through the neighborhood is what it felt like. And then last thing I remember was running through this parking lot, and supposedly I tripped on one of those like those cinder block things that they put at the end of a parking. And I tripped over that and then bounced my head off the side of a car. And I got completely knocked out. Next thing I know, I wake up and there's like 10 people, 15 people standing over me. And I'm like blood everywhere. Like, I've got this like pinky size, like, cut on my forehead. And, I'm trying to be the tough guy. Like, oh, I'm fine. And then, you know, I'm like, no, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm fine. And, supposedly I don't really remember much of this at all. And then, you know, they take me back to my house and my buddy's girlfriend, who's good friends with Gina, was like, she calls, you know, cause I'm telling everybody I'm fine. And, you know, Gina, she calls Gina and she's like, everybody's saying he's fine, but I don't think he's fine. You need to come over here and check this out. You know, and then she came over. I kind of was given the same thing, like, oh, we'll take care of it, cause I'm hammered. And I'm like, the last thing I feel like doing is going to sit in the hospital right now and waiting to get whatever. So anyway, go to sleep, which apparently you're not supposed to do after a concussion. which is dangerous. That's why Gina was there. Like, she kept like waking me up. But anyway, I remember waking up in the morning, coming to, and then going to the bathroom and like seeing the cut on my forehead. And I'm like, I wake Gina up. I'm like, we have to go to the hospital right now. Like, I got this, like, you know, it's like, cause it, I'll, you know, I've got the picture. I'll send it to Murph and maybe he can throw it up. On
you
the
look
video.
Like Aldana from this last
yes,
weekend.
Like it was, it was probably about the size of my pinky, but, and it probably almost as wide too. Like you could see my skull and, anyway. So, but then it had been like 12 hours since this had happened. And if you know anything about getting stitches, like they don't do that because it's like your risk for infection goes like way up. And like, I had to like beg the doctor, like, please, please, please stitch me up. Please stitch me up. And they ended up doing it. But they, at this point, like the cut had already started to like heal and had like a scab starting to form. So they had to like take all that scab out essentially. And like, they were like, I don't know what they took it out with, but I just remember that being the worst part of it. And they supposedly shot me up with Novocaine, but like, I think there's something with people that have freckles and red hair that like they're like less susceptible to Novocaine is from what I've heard, which I think is true because anytime I've gotten numbed up, I feel like I always feel it. But anyway, they had to like scrub the cut out and then they sewed it back up. It was like 20 something stitches like in my forehead. And it was probably my most embarrassing. See, it's like, that's the first one that came to my head. I don't know if that's the most embarrassing though. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing. But
I mean, do you just want to sit here and tell embarrassing stories all day?
I mean, we could.
I've got plenty of them. Yeah. I've done some embarrassing shit in my life.
I'm trying to remember if there's anything like more embarrassing.
All my embarrassing stories have to do around bourbon.
Yeah. I mean, most of mine do too. I mean, most of mine are just alcohol in general, man. That's part of the reason why I just don't really drink anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not my thing. I just don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like because it ruins the next like 2 days for me. I'm useless for right. like 2 days. And I like to train and I like to work out and I like to just feel just, mentally on.
Right. Just not being in control. Like it sucks. Obviously in college, you want to go out and have a good time and you don't understand those limits. And I mean, I definitely pushed those limits pretty far.
Yeah.
And it almost cost me my scholarship because of it. And it took me my freshman year, the first semester, first midterm, really, I mean, I did some stupid, stupid shit. And I really cut down my drinking after that. Like, all right, cool, did it. Now, like, as I got older, obviously, once I was of legal age and all that, where I really didn't have to worry about getting in too much trouble. But, like, I never drank and drove, but I just would drink and do stupid shit. And, I don't know, just living and...
I got some
stuff. One of those that like to fuck around and find out that yeah. that was me.
Yeah, I think I got 3 MIPs when I was down there. I got 3 MIPs. I got caught with weed by the cops once. Like it was a whole thing.
Shit, those tattoo on my calf, I drew that in alcohol class after getting busted in the dorms for too many dorm violations for alcohol.
Yeah, it's just, man, those dorms, that's a fucking, you can get in trouble so easily.
Oh yeah. Things, so talking about that. So we'll stick with some embarrassing stories. My freshman year, again, I had a party, and again, drinking whiskey and Coke, good old Evan Williams, me and this guy, we split a handle.
Evan Williams?
Evan like Williams.
As in the, who's Evan Williams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So me
or
and this guy,
name
no,
was Evan Williams.
No, the guy that I, this guy on my team, it was another freshman and we split this bottle of Evan Williams, got the big half gallon, whatever. Obviously we weren't intending on drinking at all at night.
Sure.
But we had recruits in town. And so we were like, having like, you know, you're drinking, having parties, trying to show these recruits a good time. And, you know, I was drinking bourbon and Coke, and I thought it'd be a good idea to play beer pong with bourbon and Coke, and wound up blacking out, and the guys took me back to the dorms. Well, when they dropped me off at the dorms, I don't remember any of this. I'm just going by what stories, like what the people that I interacted with told me what happened. And so these guys dropped me off at the dorms, and they said I got out of the car and just face planted in the parking lot, which made sense because my glasses were all busted and my face was all messed up. But they're like, oh, you popped right back up, and then you walked in and said you were fine. So get in, go to scan my ID to get into the dorms, and go walk over to the elevator. And like when I pushed that elevator button, it was like turning an on-off switch. I just passed out like right there.
Like in the elevator?
Fell into the elevator, like half in the elevator, half out the door. It's just like apparently just like closing on me. Oh, but there, but like could have picked a worse time to do it because there's a fucking cop in the lobby. So they get me up, they sit me in the lobby, they write me a ticket, and then take me up to my room, and they're like, we're gonna check on you and about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, see how you're doing. Well, they put me in the room and I immediately locked the door. And so, you know, and I go in and I don't even make it to the bed. I just sit down, sitting up against the bed and just pass out. And so they knock on the door, whatever. I don't let them in. They get to go RAs. RAs come in and I'm just sitting there and I'm passed out. So they call the ambulance. Ambulance comes and you know, I signed the release form that I didn't want help. And, you know, when I looked at it the next day, my signature started in the top left-hand corner, made it all the way down to the right, like basically signed across the page. And so, but I don't remember any of this. I just remember waking up the next morning to a knock at the door, like 7:30 in the morning, stand up and sure as shit, piss myself. So I walk to the door, or I'm trying to get up, and my roommate opens the door and they're like, Pat, police are here for you. I'm like, what? So I go to the front, and that's when they tell me what happened from the time I entered the dorm until I got up. But they're telling me, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, well, you've got two tickets. And I'm like, well, where are they? They're like, well, we put them in your back pocket of your pants. And I was like, oh. You mean these? So I like reach back and I pull it out and it's all
wet,
sopping wet, and just disintegrates. I'm like holding it, trying to read it. I'm like, what is it? Like, well, you got an MIP and an MIC because I got an MIP because I had alcohol in the dorm. I got an MIC because I was drunk, minor being drunk. And then I got my third dorm violation for alcohol. So minor in possession because I had beer in the room, minor in consumption because I was drunk, and then dorm violation. And so I'm like, fuck. And yeah, so they recounted all of this, but like hearing different people's sides of it and like where they were at, like I had other buddies that were in Hutchins, which is the twin yep. to Hammonds, and they were hanging out with some of the soccer players. Well, they're all like, next thing you know, the ambulance is coming up and showing up at the dorms. They're like, oh, what crazy dumbass is getting in trouble or yeah. needs to go to the ambulance. And come to find out that I was that crazy.
You're the dumbass, yeah.
I was that dumbass. But yeah, it was funny. So then like, I went downstairs after I got all cleaned up, talked to the cop, and I'm like, listen, I'm really embarrassed about what I did. You know, I'm going to be much smarter about this. I don't plan on drinking that much anymore. Like, this is what was a real eye-opener for me. Well, sure as shit, like the very next weekend, our volleyball team, their coach just broke the record for wins or some shit. And so we were throwing a party for the volleyball team. Well, I show up to the party. They have a keg. I fill up my keg. And, I mean, there's a ton of fucking people there. I fill up my cup. I hadn't even taken a drink yet. Knock on the door, fucking cops. And like, I turn around and look, it's the same fucking cop that just caught me the weekend before.
Oh.
And before he could shut the door, he's like, Doyle, get the fuck outside right now. Luckily, there was a guy next to me that wasn't drinking and had water in his cup. So we switched cups. He goes, I just saw that. Grab that cup that you just traded him with. I was like, fuck. I'm like, all right. So I grab the cup, go to walk outside. And he's there and he's like, they're just, oh yeah. And I'm like, I haven't even taken a drink yet. Someone just handed this to me. Like, I literally just got here. I told you last week that I wasn't going to be drinking. He's like, yeah, I don't fucking believe you. Call the cops. He's a bike cop. He's like, get a car here. We're taking him to jail. I'm like, fuck. So they cuff me and I'm sitting on the front porch and I'm begging. He goes, we're going to go to school. We're going to get your scholarship taken away, all this and that. And I'm like, please don't. Like, what? And at this point, I'm crying. And he's like,
ruining your life.
Yeah. And I'm like freaking out and all this. And he's like, hold on. And so they kick everybody out of the party. Hundreds of people were there. Like, that's what the complaint, there was a noise complaint.
Yeah.
And this is a house on Kimbrew. So you had to,
yeah, like, you're on like a main road.
Yeah.
Too.
So like, you had to, like, that's how fucking loud and crazy it was. So he, like, I'm crying and they're reading me they're giving me the shit. And I'm crying, pleading my case as everyone is walking out of this party. Like, literally everybody's walking past me, laughing at me. And like, I'm sitting there freaking out. Like, my life is going to end because of this. And as soon as the last person leaves, the guy was just like, and the car just pulled up. And he turned to the other bike cop and was like, you know, I'm going to be nice. I'm feeling generous. You know, I feel like he's just gone through enough punishment tonight. So,
can we just embarrass him in front of 100 people?
So, more than that. Yeah, so, so he's like, you know, he sends the cop on his way. He's just like, all right, I'm going to let you off. But if I catch you again, I will take you to jail. I will go to the school and I will get your scholarship taken away. And I was like, sir, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I never drink again. And I didn't drink again the rest of my freshman year. Yeah, because I was so fucking scared. But that was, yeah, sitting there crying and having all those people walk by, that's...
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I've got two embarrassing... I guess one would be... One's pretty similar to my other one. It's me falling down drunk and getting... Well, I guess I can go into both. So the first one was I want to say it was our second or third week in down at Mo State. And I was going to some party for the fraternity, or something. It was like a home, I can't remember what it was, but there was a theme to it. And I remember I wore this like goofy ass, like my dad's suit from the 70s. It was like, I remember going home
with the ruffles.
Yeah. No, it had like the wide collar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think honestly, so me and a buddy, we were splitting, I think it was like a bottle of vodka or something. And we were making mixed drinks and I'm pretty sure I got roofied. And at least that's what I think happened, because I remember not drinking very much, and I don't remember a fucking thing. So at least that's what I've assumed. But I didn't get like a toxicology right. or anything, so there's no way to prove it. Maybe I just drank, you know, because I don't remember drinking that much. But anyway, I ended up falling down a flight of steps, banging my head, and then everybody said like after that I was like incoherent, and so that's why I think it was the roofies, or it was a concussion, or a combination of both. But anyway, we had, this is when I was rushing the fraternity, or not rushing, I was pledging the fraternity, and we had, so one of the parts of being in our fraternity at the time is you had a sober driving schedule. So basically for a whole semester, you had, as an active member in the fraternity, your pledges drove you around, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they would send out a schedule, so from 7 to 10, Zach's driving, from 8 to 11, Pat, you know, and basically it was like four, anywhere from like 3 to 5 drivers per night, you know, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And it was my friend Spencer who came and picked me up, and like apparently he like carried me into the dorm and somehow got past the front desk. Like he had me like over his shoulder like this, like walking me in there. And then apparently just got me and threw me in my room, and then he had to go back out and sober drive. Nobody ever called Gina. That's because nobody really knew me that well yet. You know, there's a couple guys that I was pledging the fraternity with that like knew me and knew Gina, and like, but man, this is so fresh. Like I barely even knew all these guys at this point. Like we were like 2 weeks into college, and supposedly the RA caught, and this was in when I was in, what's the name of the dorm? Not Freddie. Wells. I was in Wells. And I remember, I guess I went to the bathroom at some point, and I was covered in blood, by the way. Because when I fell, I hit my head. Common story here. Probably why I don't drink very much anymore. Because I fall and hit my head. And covered in blood, apparently. And because my clothes were covered in blood the next day. And the RA saw me in the bathroom, ended up calling the cops. And I refused treatment or whatever. And they ended up giving me they ended up giving me an MIC. But when I went to give the guy my license, because I had bought beer with my fake ID that night, and my fake ID was still in like the front slot of my wallet, and I gave him my fake ID, and so I got, and he ended up not giving me a charge for the fake ID, but he ended up taking the fake ID and then took my real license. And so, but anyway, when I woke up the next day, I had no recollection of what happened. I just woke up in my bed covered in blood and my driver's license was missing. Probably one of the scaredest I've ever been in my life. Like I remember waking up, like I like had blood like all over my face, all over my clothes, and like just zero. Like the last thing I remember was like getting to the party the night before. And I'm like, man, I mean, everything that I just told you is just, I don't remember that. That's just what I was told. Right. Was what happened.
That's same with mine.
Yeah. And anyway, I ended up getting, an MIC. And then thank God it didn't get me with the fake ID, because I know that could have been a whole nother fucking big charge and issue. But that was an embarrassing story. This next one, that I got one more. I don't know if you've got another one, but I've got a, this one's like, I would say less embarrassing, more than like, just like stupid. And this was, again, fraternity event. We were, it was a $10 prom. So you go to like a Goodwill or something and you spend, or $20 prom or something like that. But you spend like, you just basically dress ridiculous. And I was dressed like a homeless person is what it looked like. I had like this goofy ass fedora and like this like tweed jacket. And like, it was just fucking stupid. But anyway, it was downtown at one of the lofts, or no, it was at some venue downtown. I can't remember where it was. But anyway, we're all about to walk back to the fraternity house. This is when I was living in the frat house, and it's not that far. It's about a mile walk from downtown to Elm Street, where fraternity row was. And it was probably a group of, I think it was like five or six of us all walking together. And as we're walking past another party of another fraternity, some of the guys say something to one of my friends, and they end up saying something to the guy who's like a big hothead, and of course he turns around and's like trying to start a fight with these guys. And anyway, like me and one other guy, like are trying to break it up and like trying to pull him back. Like, no, come on, Nick, let's go. Come on. No, like, and I'm like grabbing him by the shoulders. Like, come on, let's go. But as this is happening, like a crowd is starting to form. And I guess right as this happened, the cops like pulled up, flipped the lights on, and we're all like walking away. And this is probably, it's just like everybody like scattered, And we're all just like walking. I'm walking the same direction that we were going. And I guess I hear in the background, hey, stop. But I'm like, I don't know if they're talking to me. I don't know if there's so many people around. Like, how do I know he's not talking to me? And anyway, and just 2 seconds later, I'm just tackled to the ground, like on the concrete by this fucking giant ass dude. He's probably like, man, I mean, he was like your size, but like fucking, look like a linebacker or something, Anyway, and I didn't know if it was a guy. I didn't know it was a cop. I was about to like, turn around or something, but all of a sudden I feel the metal handcuffs on my wrists and I'm like, fuck. And yeah, so he tackles me, throws me in handcuffs real quick. And then, and they have the other guy who was starting the fight in handcuffs as well. But he's like resisting hard and they're fucking mushing his face into the, he looked like he got into like a fucking street fight afterwards. Geez. Like they're bouncing his face off the concrete and everything. And anyway, he's like fighting it the whole time. Oh, you don't know who my dad, his dad's pretty wealthy. And he's like, oh, wait till you hear my dad hears about these, like ripping shit like that. And I'm just sitting there politely like, sir, I was just trying to stop my friend from fighting. And, he was like, I was just, my friend was trying to fight that guy, or trying to get into a fight over there. And we were just trying to walk him home. He's like, shut your mouth right now. You're going in the back of my car. Last thing I said to him. And ended up getting a public affray charge, which, it's like Springfield's like one of like three or four places in the whole country that like use this, but a public affray is like, it's like public fighting or public disturbance with fights or public disturbance inciting violence or something. Anyway, but something like that. But anyway, getting a, this was like all, it just sucked. Anyway, I got this stupid like fighting charge when I wasn't even fighting, just trying to stop my friend from fighting. So not really embarrassing, but it was just worth telling.
I got
in trouble by the law.
Yeah, I've got another one along those lines, which will be my last. Yeah.
You got a bolt.
Yep. So along those similar lines, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I was saying this as a joke, and I don't feel this way about what I like. This isn't a truth of how I feel. But we were down in Springfield. I was already graduated. I was playing pro ball at this time. And we were down there for a fundraiser that we do every year. And with a bunch of old buddies, we all meet down there. We do always go down at least once a year. And so we're down there and we go out partying after this event and we're walking back to where we were staying. And one of my buddies, like there was like four or five of our buddies on one side of the street. And then me and this other buddy were on the other side of the street. Well, we're walking. And my buddy was a little shit disturber. There was like a bunch of for rent signs in the yards. So he was walking by, kicking them over. And then at one point he started picking them up and like, he'd walk up behind me and hit me. And so I'm like, hey, and he did it one more time and I hit me. And this one was like one of those hard plastic ones, not like the actual like little foam ones, but like a hard plastic one. It's loud thud.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he was like, oh shit. He's like, he didn't realize, he thought it was one of those smaller ones, but he like, I'm like, I'm gonna beat your fucking ass. So I start chasing after him. The next thing you know, they're just like, hey, stop, it's the police. Now, this is where I preference. I don't mean this. I was just saying this as a joke, thinking it was my buddies on the other side. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck the popos.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And, yeah, so needless to say, he goes, what'd you say? I was like, huh? And I turned back around, and it was cops. They got their flashlights on me, and they're out of their car, and they're running after us. And I was like, oh, shit, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding. But at this point, like, I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get in trouble. So I take off running. Oh, now, granted, no. This is winter. It had just snowed. I'm drunk in cowboy boots, chasing after my buddy. And this is on Walnut. So, like, you know where Gilardi's is?
Yep.
Tucked behind. So, like, I'm running. And the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to cut back here and loop it back around. Well, those motherfuckers knew what I was going to do. So they just went straight ahead and cut me off that way. And I come running around the backside of Gilardi's, and they've got their guns pointed at me, or a taser, and I see the red dot, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I stop. I'm done. He's like, oh, you still want to say fuck the popos? I was like, dude, it was a joke. I didn't mean it. Like, I thought it was my buddies across the street. He goes, you know, why are you damaging all these signs? I'm like, it wasn't me. He goes, who was it? I'm like, I don't know. Well, you were chasing after that guy. I go, yeah, he fucking hit me with one of these signs. I don't know who it is. And so they ended up, I get on the ground, they cuff me. All my buddies come running across the street, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I promise. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, can I, like, I really like, and my buddies are trying to talk him out of it. And I'm like, can I throw in a dip? Like, I'm like, that would really help me out right now. I'm really like, can I, it's in my back pocket. Like, I can feel it like right here. It's in my hand. Can I just like, can you uncuff me so I can, and like, dude, you're about to go to you're about to go to jail, or like what are going, taking you down to the police station. And I was like, fuck, I didn't do anything. And so my buddy comes over and was like, sir, like, you know, we're his friends. And I'll be honest, like, I'm not sure who that guy was that was running off, but that guy was the one kicking over the signs and then came over and hit him with it. And he was just chasing after the guy. And so they kind of talk him out of it. And he's like, sir, like, he's a professional baseball player, like all this. And they start laughing and they're like, fine, we'll let him go. You know, it's got to be. And the guy goes, you know, it's got to be kind of him, because he was a short, squatty, older man. He goes, you know, you're a professional athlete. I would be embarrassed. I'm like, yeah, sir, I'm embarrassed of this situation right now. He goes, no, not because of that. It's because my old, fat, squatty ass just outran you.
Oh.
And I'm like, I was like, man, I could fucking say something right now, but I'm just going to, I was like, you're right, sir. I am out of shape. And
it's the off season.
I was like, you just proved why I need to get in the gym more, but I would really appreciate it if you let me go. So they did. They ended up uncuffing me and all that. It's just like, fuck. It's like Springfield, man. It's a great place to get yourself in some fucking trouble,
man. The cops down there.
Called them the night ninjas, man.
Yeah.
They're riding those in all black and the black bikes at night. They just pop out of nowhere.
Yeah. I got caught. Me and Gina got caught with some bike cops. Man, it was like our first weekend down there. We were just like walking down the street we just didn't know.
Yeah.
We realized we were close to campus, but we were just like standing on the sidewalk with beer cans in our hands, and we were 19 years old, and they just roll up on bikes out of nowhere, and we're like, oh, no.
Well, I was walking through the parking lot once right there by Hammond's, and it was me and two other ball players, and then these girls that we always hung out with, and like, I just didn't see a crack and like stumbled, and they just popped out of nowhere. Are you drunk? I'm like, sir, I just got home from fucking practice. No, I'm not drunk. Like, sweating my ass off. You would smell it if I was drunk. But yeah, I mean, they just popped out of nowhere. Fucking assholes.
I mean, I'd love to know the amount of revenue that city gets from.
But like, DUIs are huge down there.
Oh yeah,
which is like stupid. I mean, I have, you know, it's. I mean, it's such a small town.
Yeah.
I mean, but back then we didn't have Uber, so you know.
Yeah, that was one of the things about the, you know, the sober driving thing for the fraternity that was so nice.
Yeah, we didn't have that. Would have been the smart move. But
it was so nice. I mean, it sucked because you know, at least pledge. You know, being a part of the fraternity, that was like one of the really nice parts about it is you had you always had sober drivers and you always had people to clean up the day after a party. So that was basically like you had a semester of doing that to then get three and a half years. Yeah, 3.5 years of that for you, which was like it's worth it. Yeah. And in that time, you know, when you're going through that shit with all your butt and
you get closer with them.
Yeah, you make and then on top of that you're getting that fucking hazed like hard. You know, like we did.
Gotta be careful about that.
Oh yeah. Like I mean we did. I mean that's why fraternity's not there anymore.
There's a lot of fraternities and sororities that are gone from there because of that.
I mean, so. It was part of it. And I mean, I don't condone anything that happened. And there's definitely some stupid shit and some really dangerous shit that we did.
Like, we're young and like you're young and dumb and you don't fucking think about like how bad that can be. And that's what's crazy because you know, you hear all about it now.
Yeah. So I mean, stupid shit with alcohol and some stupid things with dip. You know, there was some really dumb shit that we had to, you know, that we have to do, but it was just part of it. And, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't trade any of those times for the world. I'd do it all over again.
Learning experiences. Plus, you know, our last guest, Mike, was like, man, you built a network down there. So it's all part of it. And yeah, you know, being out on your own and learning, but like this, I mean, I learned fast. Like I said, I fucked around and found out and knew that that's not a path that I wanted to go down and made changes very quickly.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess that we can save all these questions for another episode.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up just sticking on the one question, but yeah. Anyway, guys, if you guys like this episode, make sure you click that like button for us. Click that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. Actually, we just did some looking at our analytics the other day, and I just found out that more than half of the people that watch this show are not subscribed. So if you're watching the show and you've enjoyed it and got anything out of it, if you could click that subscribe button, that would help us out a ton. And if you really got something out of the show, tell a friend that you think would like it. We'd love to keep growing the show. Obviously, we are a newer podcast, and we're still trying to grow this thing. So. If you you like it, just tell a buddy about it. You know, share it. Send someone a link to the episode. If you really like us, throw it on your social media. We'd really appreciate it. And thank you guys, and we will see you next time.